be seated. I'm so glad you're here with us today. Before we go any further, I want you to direct your attention to the screens. We're going to, if some of you may not have got to see the video last week and kind of introduce what we're about to do this morning.
Hey, Harvest, I'm here with my good friend Brad Miles. And for you guys that don't know, Brad's the pastor over at Stonebridge Fellowship. And we are super excited because here's the deal. You may not know this, but a couple of years ago when we moved into our new facility, we had an old facility over there on Quincy Street that we needed to do something with. And rather than selling that property or that thing reverting back to a business or something like that, we were super happy to partner with Brad and the church over at Stonebridge and allow them to move into that facility, utilize it for ministry, and grow their church. They were in the same spot that we were at. We had outgrown our facility. We needed somewhere bigger in order to do what God had called us to do, and that's what they were at as well. And so we're excited to have them over there in that building. And so we invited Brad and, in fact, the whole church to come and worship with us on November the 25th, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and it's going to be an exciting day.
Yeah, and it's really been an amazing couple of years for us in that building. God's doing all kinds of amazing things. We're really, really grateful for the ways that God has blessed us, but we're really, really grateful for the relationship that we have with you at Harvest and for the relationship we have with the staff here. That relationship goes way back, even farther. And so it's been a blessing for us to do ministry with you here in Plainview. And so we can't wait to be with you on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And our folks are going to be wearing some Stonebridge t-shirts because they want to make sure that they're able to talk to you guys and share with you how grateful we are for the relationship that we have with you and for the way God has used you to bless us and is using us together to transform this city for the cause of Christ. So we can't wait. Join us Sunday after Thanksgiving and we're going to worship together.
All right, you guys help me welcome Brad Miles from Stonebridge Fellowship. Now, while Brad's coming up here, I can't resist this. You know that thing about this is my Pastor Brad, my other Pastor Brad.
Yeah.
All right. So we're so glad. Brad is not only a fellow co-worker in the gospel, he's my friend.
Yeah.
And I really believe, Brad, you're an answer to prayer for many of us. God sent you and your wife and your kids to this city. And I just want to pray over him and not take up his time because he's got a word to share with us. I believe you're going to be blessed this morning. You don't see anybody with Stonebridge t-shirts on in first service because they're all coming to second service. So if you want to hang around and meet them, they're going to be getting here early. We'd love for you to mingle. And we believe that the church and the city is supposed to be unified. We're not on a different mission. We're all on the same mission. Amen?
That's right.
So y'all join me in prayer as we pray for Brad and he release him to speak God's word to us. God, we thank you. God, I thank you that Brad's not only a minister, he's my friend.
Yes, Jesus.
God, I ask that you would anoint him with your power, release your word. We need your word this morning, God. So release it through Pastor Brad, and may he be blessed, and may we be blessed as we honor you by listening to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go get it.
Man. I just spent Thanksgiving with my wife's family. They all came into town. There's like 20 of them crammed into our little house. And I walked into the kitchen the other day, and I mean, it looks like a bomb went off in our house, you know, because there's just kids and stuff everywhere. But I was just like, man, this is so amazing to be able to spend time with family together. Just a wonderful blessing. And I want to say to you, too, that we had a great Thanksgiving together, our family hanging out together. But I want to say that that's what I believe that this is this morning, right? This is family getting together. You know, we don't get to do this every week, you know, but you know, it's nice to on a holiday like Thanksgiving for the family of God to get together and to worship together and spend some time together. We think of you guys as family, and we're grateful for what God has done through you in the life of our church. I could talk to you all day about it, but God has blessed our church because of the use of that facility over there. We run a food pantry out of there that we feed 100 families two times a month. Over 100 families will come through our church, and we provide food for them. But that's because of the blessing of the space that you've given us. God's grown us. We're baptizing people coming to know Christ, and it's all because of the work that God is doing in us, right? That's good. That's good.
But I'm gonna say this too, on a personal note, I want to share with you how much your church has meant to me. A couple years ago, my wife was going through a really difficult health situation. She was a scary kind of health situation. And so many of you that are here this morning even, so many of you prayed for her. And you lifted her up before the Lord. And the staff at this church prayed for her and for my family. And I spent time in Brad and Julie's living room, me and Amy did, with them laying hands on us and praying for us and prophesying over us. And I just want you to know, we are grateful for your friendship. And we're grateful to be doing ministry together. And I also want to say this too. You have been blessed at Harvest with an amazing staff of leaders that love you and support you. And I think it's okay for us to express our gratitude to God for them right now, don't you? Let's just praise God for that. They've ministered to me. They've ministered to me as much as they've ministered to anyone here. And I just want to make sure that you understand that and you know that. So they asked me to come today and speak on gratitude since it's Thanksgiving. And so I was kind of, you know, praying about that and letting the Lord kind of speak to me about that. And the following passage came to my mind. We're going to be reflecting on this passage all throughout this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The passage that we're about to read is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Here's what it says. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For God, our God, is a devouring fire. So, all right, this passage comes at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, okay? And it kind of sums up everything that the author has been talking about in this chapter. It's like the climax of the chapter. And so everything he's been saying has been leading to this one passage right here. And he's building up to it. What he wants to say to us is, look, be thankful, live lives of gratitude. And so I wanted to tell you a story because I think this will kind of sum up what we're talking about. We talk about gratitude. My parents gave us a minivan one time. Our cars were, you know, messed up. We had two kids, you know, we just had our second baby. They gave us this minivan. It was a wonderful gift. It had about 200,000 miles on it when we got it. So God bless them. You know, it was a wonderful gift. We needed it really badly. And for those of you who know, look, I'm not ashamed to be rocking the minivan in those days when I was. There's nothing wrong with minivans. But they gave us that minivan, and there's a problem though, because when you turned on the heater or the air conditioner, it was either off or it was blowing like full speed. You know what I mean? Like my hair, if I had had hair, it would have been blowing back, you know, because of what was coming through there. And so we took it down to the shop because we wanted to get that fixed. You know, it's nice to be able to have 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and not just like 4, you know. And so we took it into the shop and they took a look at it. And here's what they told us. And for those of you, I just want to say God bless you guys who work on cars. God bless you. Favor the Lord. They told us that there's a little part back in there, a little plastic part. Okay, that regulates all of that, and it was broken. I was like, great, you know. And then the first question you ask is on everybody's mind, right? How much is that going to cost me? You know, because that's what really matters. Well, that little part, it's like a $13 part, little bitty plastic part. You want to know how much it costs to replace that part in my car? $1,000. Because you got to take the whole dashboard off, right, to get back there to put this one little plastic part up in there. You know what I mean? That little plastic part's pretty important, man. It matters a lot to the working of your air conditioner system. And I just want to say that that's kind of the way gratitude works in our lives, right? Gratitude in our lives regulates the flow of the blessing and the power of God in us. And so if you and I together can learn to live lives of gratitude, what we're doing is we're unleashing God's power in our lives, right? And so that's what the author in Hebrews chapter 12, that's what he's trying to say to us. And so let's talk together about what gratitude unleashes in us. What effect does gratitude have on us? Now, before we get into that, let me explain what gratitude means. Okay, this matters. Gratitude is understanding who God is, first and foremost. That God is the God who spoke the universe into being, who holds all of the galaxies in the palm of his hand. Our understanding of who God is the preface to everything we have to understand about gratitude. Our God is a devouring fire. And when we understand who God is and we understand our position, our place in front of him, we're freed to be grateful. And so gratitude is understanding who God is and then understanding that that God whose voice spoke all of eternity into being, right? That God loves me and loves you and has made a way, desires relationship with you, has made a way for relationship with you. That's our God. And gratitude is understanding that and knowing that. And I just want to throw that out before we even get started. Let's talk, though, about some effects that gratitude has on us. And here's the first one. And I want to throw this out to some of you because you need to hear this today. Gratitude makes us strong. Gratitude makes us strong. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Now listen, we're going to be in all of Hebrews chapter 12 today. This is ambitious. My father-in-law pastor, when I told him I was going to be doing this today, he looked at me like I was crazy. Okay, so we're not going to be able to really dig into all these passages. We're just going to kind of be able to hit the high points. But I hope you heard that. The book of Hebrews was written to, we believe, maybe, scholars think, Jewish believers who were living in Rome. And so here's what had happened to them. In AD 49, all of the Jews who lived in Rome were kicked out. The emperor kicked them out. They lost everything. They lost all their possessions, all the wealth that they built up, their jobs, everything. They had to leave the city, okay? And then a few years later, they're allowed to come back. They have to start over from scratch. And then in AD 64, Nero begins to persecute the Christians. And so here are these Jewish Christians who've been living there. They've already been kicked out of the city one time. And now, like, the power of the emperor is aligned against them, and they're facing death and the loss of everything that they have again, right? And so some of them are thinking about, man, this thing's not worth it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pretend like I'm just a Jewish person and not a Jewish Christian person, right? And that way I don't have to go through whatever this second phase is. And so the author of Hebrews is writing to these people who have already experienced one round of massive persecution and they're about to receive another round. And he's writing to encourage them in the faith. And what he tells them in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, this is what he tells them to encourage them. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to reflect on these words. Listen to this. Here's what he says. He's talking about Jesus. He's like, focus your attention on Jesus. And here's what he says. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. What about that? On Sunday, March the 7th, 1965, 600 civil rights activists lined up and got ready to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge outside of Selma, Alabama. I mean, they knew what waited for them on that bridge. Bull Connor, racist sheriff, right? All of the powers of Jim Crow, right, aligned against them. And they knew when they walked across it, they were going to face possible physical persecution, probable physical persecution. They would be beaten. They would be cussed at. They would be demeaned in every possible way. They knew that that was going to happen to them. But do you want to know when they gathered before they walked across that bridge? Do you want to know what encouraged them? Do you want to know what motivated them to face, to be willing to face whatever was coming their way on that bridge? Do you want to know what it was? Jesus and the cross. That's what motivated them. See, they knew that Jesus had suffered and died on the cross. And because he suffered and died, they could suffer if that's what it took to achieve what was right. And you need to know this morning because some of you here this morning are here and you're suffering, man. You're going through some really painful and difficult times. Life is not easy for you. And if that's where you are right now, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you lost someone that you love. You know, maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one. Maybe a relationship that matters to you a lot has ended, right? Maybe you're experiencing some financial difficulty, right? Maybe you've lost your job. I don't know what's going on with you, but there's some folks in here this morning who you're at the end of your rope and you're desperate and you are really going through some difficult times. Here's what you need to know, and I want you to hear this. We serve a God who has suffered. Let me say that again, because that is scandalous, right? That's crazy what I just said, but it's true. We serve a God who suffered. He allowed himself to be ridiculed, to be beaten, to be humiliated. He allowed himself to be stretched out on a cross. We serve a God who has suffered. And if you're going through difficult times right now, what you need to know is our God, Jesus Christ, has gone through difficulty and pain. He's suffered the loss of a loved one. He's suffered ridicule. He's been homeless, right? Our God humiliated himself to the point where there's nothing that you and I might suffer or go through that he hasn't experienced already. And this morning, if you're here and you're suffering, I want to say something to you. Strengthen your grip. Take a new grip, man. Strengthen your weak knees by focusing on the truth of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose again. And I want you to hear that this morning. Gratitude, when we understand who Jesus is, when we understand what he's done for us, right? Gratitude gives us strength. And that's good news. It gives us strength to hold on. It gives us strength to keep going. It gives us strength to overcome, which is what you and I will do by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, right? So gratitude makes us strong, but guess what else? Gratitude leads to holiness. Listen to this passage, and you're going to see the writer of Hebrews likes to, he's drawing on the history of Israel to show how in the history of Israel, they failed at gratitude, right? And he's contrasting that with what we're supposed to be as believers, right? What these Jewish believers were supposed to be in Christ. Here's what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. And let me just, if you don't know this story, it's the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau was out hunting. He's the firstborn in his family, firstborn son of Isaac. And so that meant that all of Isaac's possessions and wealth were going to pass to who when he died? Esau. Right? Esau had it all, man. And he was out hunting and he hadn't eaten for a long time. He was really hungry, like hungry to the point of maybe starvation. He comes stumbling in and his brother's in there cooking in the kitchen. He's got his apron on, you know. And he's in there cooking in the kitchen and he comes in and he's like, hey, I'm starving to death, man. Give me something to eat. And Jacob, who's crafty, right? Jacob's like, I'll give you something to eat. Just give me your birthright. And Esau's like, man, whatever. I'm starving to death. Make me some stew, right? There's a whole lot of things we could talk about there. Esau needed to learn how to make his own stew. Ain't nothing wrong with the man in the kitchen. That's all I'm going to say about that. But he said that. He says that, right? He's like, give me some stew. And what matters here, guys, is that he was willing to sell his birthright. He was willing to sell what was rightfully his as the firstborn son of his father. He was willing to just sell that away for a quick meal. Everything belonged to him. But he was willing to just give it all away. The reason was because he was ungrateful. He was entitled. He became so accustomed to all of the wealth of his father, to everything that his father had. He became so accustomed to it that it didn't really matter to him anymore. And he was willing in that moment to just sell it away if that's what it meant. Now look, I'm going to be honest with you. The guy was starving to death. It wasn't like, you know, he walked in and he hadn't eaten since lunch. You know what I mean? I mean, he hadn't eaten for several days. He was starving to death. I'm sure he was really hungry. I'm sure he probably thought he was going to die, right? But you understand that the birthright that he possessed was greater value than even his own life. And he was willing to just sell that down the river because he was hungry, because he needed a meal. And we laugh at this story. We laugh at it and we think, oh, silly Esau. You know, how could you do that? You silly man, you know. But the truth is, friends, that you and I are doing the same thing often, almost every day, you and I. Do we understand who we are this morning? Do we understand who we are? Scripture tells us that we are sons and daughters of God, that we've been adopted into God's own family. And I don't know if you understand what that means, but in the ancient world, they didn't have a concept of identity as an individual, right? They didn't understand themselves as an identity as apart from their community. And so you understand that the family that you belong to was your identity. That's why it was such a big deal to be born outside of a family, right? But your family was your identity. Friends, when Scripture says we're adopted into the family of God, what that means is that our identity has been subsumed by His identity. We don't exist as an individual entity apart from Him anymore. When people look at us, they don't see us, right? They see God the Father on the throne. You need to understand that you have a birthright. All of the wealth of God is being passed on to you and me. And so often what we're willing to do, instead of working to live into that, instead of acting like a son or a daughter of God, instead of trying to live into this glorious calling that we have, we're willing to sell all of it for a quick meal. You know what I'm talking about. So many of us will trade in our name so that we'll feel less lonely for one night. Some of us will trade in our own name so people will like us. We'll trade in our own name to make a little more money. We'll trade in our own name so we can feel younger. We can feel better about ourselves. And I want you to know that gratitude prevents that kind of thing from happening. When we understand what we've been given, when we understand who we are in Christ, we understand how valuable that is. There's no way we're going to trade that off. We understand that living into the glorious calling of God is way more valuable to us than anything that we might trade it for, any kind of relationship that might make us feel good for a moment, or any kind of financial bonus that we might receive, right? Being a son or a daughter of God is way more important, and living into that calling is the most important thing in our lives. That's how grateful people live. Here's the truth. Without gratitude, we will never be who we were created to be in Christ Jesus. So gratitude leads to holiness, but gratitude also brings us into God's presence. Now, I'm just going to read this because you need to hear this, man. So the writer of Hebrews just talked about how, ancient Israel had to go to this mountain, and they were at the foot of this mountain, and the presence of the Lord came down, and the mountain shook, and no one could even walk up on the mountain, because if they walked up on the mountain, they might die. They had to keep their livestock. They had to keep their cows off the mountain so their cows wouldn't die, right? But that's not, listen to what the author of Hebrews says about us. Now, no, he said, no, not you. You're not like that. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Do you hear that? Man, me and you are cowering at the foot of any mountain. We're not cowering down at the foot of the mountain in the presence of God, hoping that he doesn't devour us, right? That's not who we are. We've been invited into his presence. We've been drawn up onto that mountain with him, and not just us alone, but all of the gathering of the saints together, right? All of us together worshiping God. That's what God has done for us. He's invited us into his presence. Man, almost 25 years ago, I got married. Let me tell you something. The doors opened to that church. I'm standing up at the front. The doors opened to that church, and I saw Amy for the first time, you know, in her wedding dress, because you're not supposed to see him right before. So she comes down there. She comes down to the front, and we're holding hands, you know, and looking into each other's eyes. And I'm going to tell you, in that moment, there was only one thought in my mind. What is the quickest way out of here when this service is over? There were two thoughts. There was two thoughts in my mind. It's another thought. The other thought was, why in the world is this woman marrying me? I was thinking, I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe she's going through with it, right? I literally was thinking, but guess what? Not just me, my mom was thinking that, you know? All my brothers were thinking that. Amy's parents were thinking that. Everybody was thinking that. I'm telling you, in that moment, I'm holding the hands of my future wife. I'm looking into her eyes, and I just couldn't believe what an incredible blessing God was giving me in her. You know what happens, though, over the course of time? Don't we forget about that sometimes? We sometimes want to focus more on what we believe is lacking in our spouse than how we believe God has blessed us through our spouse. Don't we do that? And over the course of years, if we're not careful, we can lose that sense of gratitude. And what I've learned in my life and in my marriage, and this is a very important point, there is no such thing as intimacy without gratitude. I can't be close to my wife if I'm not grateful for her. And the truth is, there is an abundance of reasons for me to have gratitude that God has blessed me with Amy. And I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of us who we're living this way in our relationship with the Lord too. We've just kind of allowed that distance to happen, and we focus more on what we don't have from God than what we have been given from God. Because of that, we're ungrateful. And it's our ingratitude that is keeping us from the presence of God. Anyone here this morning who feels far from God? Anyone here who feels alienated from God this morning? Let me encourage you. Count your blessings. Be grateful for what God's given you. Man, look around. And as that gratitude starts to well up in us, guess what? We get to walk up on the mountain. And that's a good thing. Gratitude also helps us hear. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. And what the writer of Hebrews is talking to us about here is the children of Israel in the desert. They were ungrateful. Man, God would pour out his rescue on them. He would do these amazing miracles. And then a few weeks later, they'd be like, seriously, this manna is really getting to me. You know, I just need some variety in my diet. I'm allergic to gluten. Lord, if there's any way that you could just provide some meat, you know? And so there was this ingratitude that was welling up in their hearts, right? And it caused them to ignore the commands of God. Because they were ungrateful, they ignored the commands of God that were coming from Moses. And here's some points that I want you to hear from this. First thing is, the earth ain't all the shaking, okay? Mount Sinai ain't all the shaking. The voice of the Lord speaks into the void, right? And it shakes all of the heavens and all of the earth. All of creation is being rattled, right? And that which is not that does not belong to the Lord is going to pass away. And that which does belong to him is going to remain forever, right? And here's what you need to know. Everything in creation is being sifted by the truth of God. Everything is being sifted by the truth of God, and gratitude binds us to God's truth. So when we're grateful, we're bound to his truth, we listen to God. And the fact is that some of us have drifted from the way that God wants us to live. We're living in ways that are apart from his design for us. And the reason that we are doing that is because we're ungrateful. We're entitled, right? And so we're not grateful. Because we're not grateful, we're not rooted in his truth. And because we're not rooted in his truth, we're not living according to his plan. And there's someone here today that's where you are. That's where you are. And today's the day that you've got to open your heart in gratitude back to the Lord. And you've got to allow him to speak to you so that you can return to following his ways. Man, listen to this. The kingdom is unshakable. In 12:28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Did you hear this? The kingdom of God is eternal. It's eternal. It will not be shaken. It cannot be overcome. But that's not even the best part. We are receiving it. God is giving his eternal kingdom to us. Did you hear that? This is what God has done. And when we understand that, we have to be thankful. How can we not be grateful in the face of this incredible gift that God has given us in his identity and in his kingdom? We have to allow our gratitude to erupt in shouts of praise and in worship because of what God has done for us. He has rescued us. He has given us his kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift. Right? But that's not it. Listen, the reason that for all of that is because of who our God is. God is a devouring fire. And so, brothers and sisters, listen. We gather before the mighty God of the universe who is so holy and so just and so powerful. With just a breath out of his mouth, he could wipe all of creation away, right? But he's not just powerful. He's not just awesome. He's not just this devouring fire. He's a God of mercy and love who's invited us into relationship. And let me say something to you this morning. The only thing that we can do in the face of such a God is fall on our faces before him and cry out, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And you and I can join a song that's going up from all of creation this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Amen. And that's what gratitude does in us. Pray with me. Father, you are glorious. And you are good. And my meager, feeble words could never get close to describing you or your great love for us. There's no way. But your presence is rich and real in this place this morning. And we know that you are with us, God. And the very thought that you are with us this morning shakes us to our very core. We worship you. We are thankful to you for all that you have done and for who you are. Hear the praise of your people, God. Hear our voices raised in gratitude. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Will you stand with us? Thank you, Brad. What an incredible message. No wonder the church is growing. Amen. Here's one thing that really stood out to me. I know there were a lot of incredible message of truth in that, but this one thing hit me. There's no intimacy without gratitude. And I really think that's a word for us this morning. I think all of us want to be close to God. You don't come to church because you want to be far away from God. You want to be close to God. So how is the Lord speaking to you through this message? What are the areas in your heart that may have grown cold and we've lost a sense of thankfulness and gratitude? It's easy to drift. Just like the children of Israel, it's easy to forget. Man, God's been so good to me. It's really a great tradition in our nation to have Thanksgiving. But even in that, we forget because we're all stressed out about hanging out with our relatives. Instead of being grateful that we have a family. So I just want to invite our prayer team to come forward this morning. And I want to invite you to consider how the Lord's speaking to you through this message. What is God wanting to say to you about gratitude? Maybe there's somebody in your life today you need to express gratitude toward or for or to. You might be that person who says, "Man, I lost gratitude for my spouse." Might be that person who's struggling with sin because, see, we to be holy, to fight this fight, it starts with gratitude. So I just want you to, as Greg plays and we sing this song, just contemplate and think, how is this message speaking to me? Because I think sometimes we can unintentionally treat church like going to a football game. We're just watching. we're just spectators. That's not what church is. We are here to participate and engage. So this word is not just, hey, way to go, Brad Miles, a great preacher. Let's go eat lunch. No, this word was for us. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? God, I ask that you would just minister to our hearts right now. Let us understand what you're trying to say to us right now. Only you can take a message and interpret it to every individual in a specific, particular way. So Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our hearts. Let us respond to you with gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, that we can even pray this prayer because you sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of everyone who believes. Thank you that we have the opportunity to even stand here and we don't have to tremble. We don't have to fear that the fire will consume us. We know that the fire will consume all of our adversaries because we are in you, Jesus. We thank you today. We thank you. Let our hearts be turned to you in gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, I want to encourage you to respond. After we finish this song, you may be dismissed. Hope you have a fantastic Sunday. God bless you.